All right, here we go. It's a Wednesday. Ed, JBT, Danny running the show. Well, listen, before we get to the Devontae, I know we're going to get this eventually, but you did go home and watch the Astros, did you not?
Oh, I did. I mean, this is – it's exactly why I didn't want them to play the Tigers. It played out exactly as you thought. Scooble's awesome.
Scooble's awesome.
Shut them down for a vast majority of the game. You had a little bit of hope at the end against that bullpen.
Two on, nobody out.
Yep, and it looked great. Looked like they're going to be able to do it. But – ran out of runway because Scooble was great. So sets up nice going forward. It's going to be bullpen days the rest of the way for the Tigers.
Yikes.
You get Brown today. Would assume Kikuchi tomorrow if you can stay alive. So I'm very much hoping that this is going to be the case, but this
Will
is what I didn't want.
Will you be in
front
of the TV today?
Yes. I was in front of the TV yesterday, too.
You cleared everybody out?
Yeah, it was cleared out special. Although I have so much work. I have this big project. We're writing our NBA guide over there at VSiN.
Oh, man.
And that's due on Tuesday. I may or may not be behind schedule. And like yesterday, I was like, no, I got to watch this.
What entails the guide?
It's previews of every single team from a betting perspective. So we're doing about – it's not just me, which is a good thing. I'm just writing the Western Conference this year. But about like, you know, about like 550, 700 words each team and
okay.
Previews for betting-wise, additions, all that kind of stuff, win total analysis. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Gets you ready for the season, you know.
And anyone can get it?
Yeah. It's up on the website, VSiN.com. How about that? Go check it out.
There you go.
Yeah.
The First Bite.
What should the Raiders expect back in a trade for Devontae Adams?
All right, so here we go. Reading from Vinny Bonsignor in the Review Journal, Devontae Adams and the Raiders appear towards a breakup. Confirmed that Adams told the team he prefers to be traded. The Raiders have begun making calls to other clubs to gauge interest in the wide receiver. Second rounder?
Well, that's what Schefter reported, right? Like that was the asking price. Second rounder and other compensation, I think was the way they phrased it. So assuming some sort of maybe player back.
Okay. Offensive lineman, hopefully for their sake.
Yeah, right. Quarterback.
Quarterback.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, you're throwing it out there.
No, you're right. I like that. It seems like that's going to be it. So a very similar package to what they shipped off for him a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I think it was a 1 and a 2, right? 1 and a 2 that they get. Did they have to ship off for him?
I'll look it up exactly.
I think it was a 1 and a 2. So that's what we're hearing, a second rounder and other compensation. I thought, and we talked about this yesterday, I thought that they should have perhaps done this sooner, earlier. But in hindsight, is this almost better? Because now you have all these teams that need receivers. Like, can you force someone to overpay now than maybe you would have beforehand, and you just wanted to say, we're trying to rebuild, you know, which they never do over there. I mean, they just, you know, I think that's... from the top on down that they want to win. They want to go to the playoffs each year and all that. But I think we both agree that it'd be best to try to rebuild and get a quarterback and stop being the 13th to 15th pick overall in the draft. But if this is the way they're going to go, maybe they get someone to overpay because people need receivers, people who still believe they're in the playoff and Super Bowl hunt.
But so I think, yes. The problem is, I think, one or maybe two of the teams that could potentially use them, one of them for sure, you're not going to do any business with, which is Kansas City, right? So you kind of water down your market there because I think the Chiefs would call and be willing to offer up a second-round pick and maybe something else for Devontae Adams to use because they're, you know, really up against it.
Right.
But you're not going to do business with them. So then all the other spots, like how much does that hurt you? Are these other teams, like for example, San Francisco's pretty beat up at the skill positions, but they just paid guys, so are they really going to go and do it? I mean, I guess maybe teams like Carolina. I think Dallas was one of the teams that was
Jets,
named.
Maybe
the Jets potentially as well. You could do that, but what is it? What does the market really look like for you if you're out there? I think there are teams that could use them or use him, but I don't think there's that many teams that are willing to go overboard to get him. I think it's more like, hey, here's our offer. Oh, we can't get him. All right, see ya.
Younger, better guys out there.
Sure, or just think it's look at the way the draft works. Like you can go and like. The wide receiver position is so riddled with talent. Like, there's just so many kids who want to play wide receiver. When they come out of college, there's so many of them. You could find them. They're impactful when they immediately start playing. We're starting to see it now. I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr., rough first game, has started to look really good. Malik Nabers looks like an incredible wide receiver now, even though he just got injured. Like, we can go down the list of guys. Brian Thomas Jr. looks somewhat comfortable for them. Adonai Mitchell, a lot of the metrics for the Colts would say that he's playing pretty well, running routes really well, getting open. He just hasn't been able to connect with his quarterback. Like, you can go and get guys in the draft. So just go through what you're going through now and see if you can find one in the draft. Why ship off a second-round pick for an aging guy that's costing money? And is he going to be happy if he's not with Aaron Rodgers? Because that's the other aspect of it. You're sacrificing assets.
Where is this guy really going to be happy? Just one place? Right.
I mean, in his defense, how many quarterbacks has he played with since he's been here? You know,
Let's see. Carr.
Yep.
Stidham.
Mm-hmm.
Garoppolo.
Yep.
Minshew.
Yep.
O'Connell.
Yep. It's been a lot.
for a guy who just came to play with one guy.
For Derek Carr, right. So I kind of understand the unhappiness to an extent, but how happy is he going to be if he goes somewhere else other than New York to play with Aaron Rodgers?
He'll be 32 at the end of this season. He's got the hamstring, we think. He's got the hamstring. Production last year fell by 25% in terms of yards.
Mm-hmm.
Trade deadline's November 5th. His cap hit, 44.1, salary, 36.25. We'll have a $15.7 million dead cap hit if they trade him or cut him after the season. They're going to save 28.4 against the cap, can also split that dead cap over two seasons. So money-wise, would you think that no matter where he goes, he's got to restructure this?
Oh, I would think so. I think that's probably going to be part of the deal, no matter where he goes. Unless it's like a Jet situation where Aaron Rodgers is like, no, you're going to give him what he wants.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, maybe that is a possibility. It's your point, too. I mean, you could talk about, hey, well, you know, his production dropped, but look at his quarterbacks. But you have different metrics to grade guys who are effective. You know, so for example, last year his PFF receiving grade was the lowest it was since 2017. This year he's sporting a 65.9, which would be the lowest since his second year in the league. So his play being evaluated by others, not just catches and yards, is being evaluated as a guy who has been declining the last couple of years. So that's the other aspect of it. The money. I would assume he's going to restructure, but I would agree with that thought of, like, the play has seemingly declined on top of the numbers. Can't just point at the quarterback.
Let me ask you this, because we went over yesterday on the show about the Instagram post that Antonio Pierce supposedly liked. It was his official account. We don't know. Was that screenshot? We don't know if, you know, someone else was on his Instagram
intern while
he was supposedly coaching.
I think he was just squatting and surfing and just accidentally hit it. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. This guy, in terms of not being a head coach for a long time, we've got this. We've got the business decisions comment that he backed off on finally. How much are we seeing from him that really needs to be worked on to be a head coach?
I think a lot. I thought Adam brought up a great point, too, where the stepping in it with the whole quarterback decision, where it's like, hey, he's alluding to the fact that he's going to change the quarterback position, and it comes back out, they leak it out to the media. Like, I think Rappaport had the report, it was like, we're not changing the quarterback position. And then you guys, the media, go and ask him about it again. He's like, yeah, no, we were never considering that. I was like, well, why not be clear about what you're talking about? So there's that. Then you factor in the game decisions. We've talked about it a bunch, right? The timeouts, the game management, things like that. Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that you have to work on here. So I talked to Mike Pritchard yesterday. He used to work here and former NFL receiver. And, you know, he brought up the fact that, like, look, like NFL players, like, as former players, you kind of run a little hot sometimes. And, you know, you're vocal and you say things. And maybe that doesn't translate as well when you're a head coach, when you need to be a little bit more buttoned up and really careful with what you're saying. But at the very least, it's pretty clear that those are things you have to improve on at this point right now, because you're constantly stepping in it over and over again. And then you get, you know, the fact that was Crosby not at the game on Sunday, right? Was he not in the building?
A couple people said they think he might have been in a box.
Okay.
He wasn't like Devontae. He was down in the field, by the way, celebrating Turner's touchdown and these other guys' touchdowns. I mean, he was celebrating.
So, like, there's this thought of just, like, you know, what's really going on with this team? Is this whole players coach thing, because of course Crosby, of course, starting to get traded if he wasn't going to be the guy, all these guys, is that really working out for you in the long run? And there are red flags with the wins that you got. It's not really like you went out there, we're clearly the better team. So I think at the end of the year, at the very least, if you're going to continue to do this, you do, as the season progresses, have to reflect on what has been going on as you constantly step in it, both on the field and off the field, and realize, like, yeah, we need to improve.
Yeah. Do you think there's any way they could go this season without trading him?
Adams?
Yeah. Now that he is requested.
They're making it seem like it's kind of passive. You know what I mean? Like, the way, how did Rappaport word his tweet is like, you know, he would prefer to be traded elsewhere. Not demand, right? The wording I thought was really odd. He'd prefer to be traded as opposed to he wants out. Not like Ayuk, right? Brandon Ayuk over at San Francisco was like liking Jaden Daniels like pictures and, you know, calling him on FaceTime and doing all these sort of things while on Instagram Live, like doing it so he could like clearly be a pain and be very vocal about how he wanted out of there, even though he's still there. But for Adams, it seems pretty passive with the way that they're going about this. Like, oh yeah, you know, he'd prefer to be out of there if he can. You know?
Right.
And the Raiders, I think there was a report I was reading earlier today on my way in, which was, you know, they're taking calls, but they're in no rush to get rid of him. So it seems, I would say, maybe you can. Like, maybe you can repair this, or maybe you can just go through the season, keep him, and then trade him in the offseason.
Right.
But then is he going to play? Like, is he actually going to go out there and try, or is this going to be now a hamstring that carries out through the rest of the year? He's done for the season.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I think there's probably a better shot than most situations like this that he could, but I still think he's gone by the trade deadline.
You do?
Yeah.
Hamstring really pulled?
Yeah.
I think it is.
I think so, too.
I think he hurt himself in practice.
Sure. And it might be also one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's really pulled, but like to what degree? And you're like, ah, look, like this is hurt. Can I play through it if we were like in the Super Bowl? Maybe.
Right.
But right now, since it's kind of pulled, let's agree to like go our separate ways here a little bit and try to work something out. You know what I'm saying?
Why do you think they don't? Is it from the top that they don't kind of accept a rebuild and, for a lack of better word, a tank?
I think so. Well, and that's the thing. Like, so I know a lot of Raiders fans don't like the tank thing, right?
But
I
will. Not a lot of fans of teams do.
Sure, but I'll use the Dolphins as a great example. The Dolphins turned that around so quick. They were one of the worst teams in the NFL. They ship everything off. They strip it down to the studs. They get a whole bunch of first-round picks. They go get Tua. They go get these guys. And all of a sudden, like, look, are they a Super Bowl contender? We'll see when and if Tua Tagovailoa comes back. But they're still in a much better position when they're at full strength than what the Raiders are, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
They're a playoff competitive team that if I were to tell you when they're fully healthy they would have made a run to an NFC championship game, you would not have been shocked by that at all.
No, not at all. Not with Tua.
They turned that around really quickly. So you could talk about you don't want a tank, but you can if you execute it properly. You can do it the right way and turn this thing around quickly. It's just about getting to the, as we talked about yesterday, right? Like the extremes. You want to be on either side. You want to be the good team or the really bad team or the really good team. And you can do that if you strip it down, get the assets, get the quarterback, and then move off in
that
direction.
You got to go through the tough times first.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be like 5 years.
Right.
You could just do it if you do it right for like a year, year and a half, and then boom. You're on your way forward.
I just think from the top on down, it's the playoff or bust every year, and I just don't think that's realistic. I mean,
it's the Chicago Bulls. You know, like the Bulls nowadays, like all they care about is just getting that playoff gate, right? So they'll just put together a team before this last year of just, 40 wins. As long as we get into the playoffs, so get that extra playoff gate and people start coming, like we're fine.
Right.
It seems to be that same mentality.
Right.
Like I'd rather build a team that has some staying power.
Yeah. Yeah, we said it yesterday. I mean, for the longest time, I likened it to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Right.
They were in the middle, and they always picked in the middle, and they never really did anything except kind of stay average to below average, and that's kind of where the Raiders are at.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. I mean, I don't think they're going to go that way. If they trade him, maybe Telesco has got that in his mind that that's the way to go, and if he believes he has time to do it, I just don't know if the top's going to allow him, or the top would sign off on it. Let's put it that way.
Sure. Well, and then you can look at it, too, because you were right. It's a first and a second. This is another misuse of a high draft pick. You shipped off a first and a second to go get Adams. Maybe you get a second back for him, but you used a first, we'll say,
yes,
on a wide receiver that didn't make you any better and who you're shipping off now for a cheaper price.
Right.
Like, it's just, like, to your point about just constantly needing to try to push for this postseason, as we put it yesterday. Like, I think you're just spinning your wheels. And again, we should be very clear, because I know there's people in the Valley who are like very defensive of this team. It is, you're not the worst team in the NFL. It is a compliment to you that you are a very, from a on-field standpoint at times, you're a competent team. But I don't think anybody in that building or now would realistically look at this team and go, yes, we can win 3 games in the AFC postseason and get to a Super Bowl and beat whoever comes out of the NFC.
No, I don't think they can. At least they can't look in the mirror and say that.
Right. You can tell your fans that, I guess, but I don't think that's real.
Off and running on a Wednesday. It's Ed, JVT, and Danny running the show. When we come back, what are we going to get into? Oh, Jason Fitz is here at 7:30, but first we'll go over some Major League playoffs.
Now, back to the press box on ESPN Las Vegas.
Ed, JVT, and Danny running the show. Here we go. Okay. You talked about Scooble. Hell of a job by him.
Just disgusting.
3-1. Beat the Astros.
I mean, it shows the importance of to give the Astros credit. And I thought the Padres, I thought this was going to happen to the Padres last night too, which was Framber Valdez comes in and stinks, and he has a bad frame. It was the second where he gave up all three runs. But then he kind of settles down for like an inning or two. Bullpen does his job.
Like right.
Blanks the Tigers the rest of the way. Gives you an opportunity to get back into this thing at any point. Get to the bullpen and do it. And I thought the same thing was going to happen with the Padres yesterday. Because for a while, they were just kind of stuck there at three runs. And you were wondering, like, all right, you guys are going to do anything here? What happened?
Yeah, do something.
Yep. But it's exactly, I did not want it. This is the reason why I didn't want the Tigers and the Astros in the first round. Because in a best of three, and you have a pitcher like that who is absolutely untouchable.
He's going to get the first.
He's going to get the first, and now you have to win two straight.
Right.
And baseball's weird. And there might be a game where you just slap it to defenders all over the place and can't find a hole to save your life.
Tigers go bullpen, you said today?
Yeah, so they're going to start. Who they got today? Let me double-check the name here. They got Tyler Holton, who's going to start today. He has made about, I think we're talking, pretty good amount of appearances. 66 appearances.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to go for like one or two innings, then you'll go to the pen like Hinch has been doing. Johnny Holstaff in the playoffs. And they're going to do it like the whole time as long as they're alive.
Royals 1, Orioles 0. Bobby Witt Jr., we talked about him yesterday, led the league in batting average hits. 24 years old shortstop who is a terrific player. Mm. I told you yesterday you get off the plane in Kansas City now, and there's nothing but Bobby Witt Jr. posters as you walk through the entire airport. Singled in off of Corbin Burns, and Royals won 1-0. Did you see yesterday you thought the Royals could win the series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. Look, they're good, man. Like, I don't think it's a stretch to say they got the best player in the series, right? Bobby Witt Jr.'s awesome. He's absolutely fantastic. I trust their pitching more than I do Baltimore's pitching at this point right now. And the back end of the bullpen's a little bit more solid, too. Like in a short series like this, especially now you're up 1-0, I totally trust Bobby Witt and the Royals more than I do the Orioles.
So they go down. They go up 1-0 against the Orioles. So they all four play today?
Yes. Yeah, so you're going to get all of them every day as long as the series go along. So we get another four-game set, all of them, and same times, too, 11:30, 1:30, 4:30, and 5:30.
The Mets, good for them. They win the day before and get the split, come back and beat the Brewers. Brewers took a quick – this thing went back and forth, 2-0 Brewers. Milwaukee scored two more, take a 4-3 lead, flipped in the fifth inning when the Mets hung on for a five spot, three Brewers relievers to take an 8-4 lead. Let's see, Peralta was pulled after only four innings and 68 pitches. This thing went back and forth, but good for the Mets. I'm not a Mets fan, but they had to win the day before to get in, and then they fly to Milwaukee and get the win.
I think they're kind of dangerous, man. Like, you look at that, so statistically throughout the entire year, they got like a top 10 lineup, right? Whatever different metrics you want to use, one of the better lineups in baseball. Like, I think that's pretty fair to say. And they've got like, you know, these, I keep calling them diamonds in the rough that they have found.
Right.
Like Severino wasn't great yesterday, but got run support and did enough to keep him in it. Manaea goes today. He's been pretty solid for them throughout this entire time. Like, it's a team that I think is, like, they've kind of got like that Diamondbacks feel where it's like, dude, this team just gets hot and just starts romping through. This lineup is just churning out runs. I don't think at the very least you're thrilled if the Mets are coming to your ballpark. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, they're good enough and competent enough. And when you look at the teams around them in the entire, like, grand scheme of Major League Baseball, as we've talked about, like, there's a lot of flawed teams. I don't think you're...
I don't think there's any... Well, I think maybe the most complete team might be the Phillies.
Yes, that, or I think you make an argument for the Padres.
For the Padres.
Yeah. I mean, I think you have some questions at the very, very back end of the bullpen. But for the most part, Padres seem pretty solid. And they're pitching. I mean, dude. If King's going to do what he did again last night, he was brilliant. You obviously have Musgrove going
today.
Yep, and then why am I blanking on your third-headed monster, Cease? Right. Like, dude, that's going to be a pretty good set to kind of go to battle with. But for the Mets, I mean, and you get the Phillies in the next round. So if you move on, that's going to be a pretty interesting matchup too. But I don't think you're thrilled. That series should be great, though.
The Phillies-Mets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of energy there. That should be good.
Near the end of the season, I don't know if they swept them, but I know they took at least two out of three from the Phillies. I don't think they're overly intimidated by the Phillies.
No, not at all. Why would you be? I mean, if you have at least effective bats, then you should be in a position to do some damage. Like for the Tigers, which I still have some pretty solid like confidence that the Astros are going to be able to win this series. Because you even saw a couple of times, like Jordan Alvarez on a bum knee, still got on base against Skubal. You saw Kyle Tucker. Like you still have Bregman, Altuve. They were making some hard contact on Skubal throughout the game. It's just they weren't really falling. You've got a lineup that you think can be pretty effective. The Tigers don't really have much. Like, they don't really make contact.
Right.
They're not really that great. They were aided in their runs yesterday by Valdez. But for a team like the Mets, who cares if Severino goes out there and gives up four in like five innings?
Yeah.
Because you guess what? It might be tied because of what you're
because
able
to do.
Because
the way
you're
hitting. Yep. Padres, I hate this, but it happened. Michael King, first pitcher to have 12 Ks and no runs and no walks allowed in his first career postseason start. Tatis goes yard early, and they win pretty – I mean, like you said, I think the Braves had a few chances.
Yeah.
Put runners on, but
for the most
part,
I think they ended up striking out 15 times. Not a ton. It was just one of those where it's just like, give him some run support here, because at the end, if you're like your bullpen starts to blow up, it's not that big of a deficit to crawl back from. I mean, you talk about a walk, a single, and then a homer, and all of a sudden it's a tie game. If you were going to be able to, if that was going to be able to happen, but I think they ended up striking out 15 or 16 times yesterday as the Braves, like
12 from King.
Yeah, like it doesn't look like it looked like a lineup that played a very big game the day before in a doubleheader, and then lost their best player and was emotionally drained making a cross-country trip to San Diego to play the next day.
Yeah.
So maybe they put forth a better effort today, but it's just a tough spot to be in if you're Atlanta. You nervous?
I think the Padres are the best team.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm very nervous. I don't I'm a Dodger fan. I don't think they're winning anything. I think they're going to get swept.
Come on, they're not going to get swept. Like they did last year.
Like they did last year against Diamondbacks, and I think the Padres are better this year than the Diamondbacks were last year.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
And the Diamondbacks made the World Series.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm worried. I'm worried because of the pitching. Like you said, if, let's see, would King, no, King can't start the opener. If they sweep.
Because it would be this weekend, right?
It'll be this weekend.
Well, so they win today, and then what do we got off? Thursday, Friday. Yeah, he wouldn't be.
Maybe not.
Maybe game two, depending
game
on the
two.
Way it's,
yeah.
if the schedule falls.
So who would they go with, Darvish?
You could. I mean, I think Darvish might be out of the bullpen, though. I mean, maybe you start him.
Maybe you start him.
I mean, that is the good thing about if you're like a team like the Padres, like the Astros, for example, you're kind of screwed because if you win the series, you've got to win two straight. You've got to play all three games. Then you get less rest, and then you've got to mess with your rotation at the end. At the very least, if you're the Padres, you're going to get some time off before, and you can do whatever. But it seems like you might have to, you're going to be obviously in a worse position at the start of your next series.
Dodgers have complained about the bye, JVT.
Yeah, right. Get out of your
funk.
Too
much rest. Get out of the funk.
Yep.
They were hot at the end. Took two out of three from the Padres. Swept the Rockies. They were hot at the end. And now they get the bye. And
is that what they're going to blame when they?
Yes,
get, when
absolutely,
they lose?
Absolutely. We already got the excuse ready. We're going to blame the bye. Now I don't care about simulated games, which I understand they're having now because they're trying to keep sharp.
Right.
It's not the same thing. We've got the excuse ready. It's the bye. Got to get in the wild card round. If there's, I'm the only fan that wishes his team got the wild card round and didn't get the bye.
Yeah. So I'm trying to see. Yeah, I mean, they've been talking about Darvish out of the pen, but maybe you go to Darvish to start the series. I don't know.
He'd be fine.
I'm going to double check to see if I'm right here. Yeah, because he is not, he's expected to operate as a bullpen arm. Maybe it's only for the series in the wild card round, and maybe you're going to bring him back out once the series starts. But, yeah, he should be nervous.
Yeah, absolutely. I am. I have been the entire year. Padres are the best team. All right, when we come back, it's Jason Fitz.
He once flew across the country to attend a parade. He thinks cake is better than pie. Yahoo Sports' Jason Fitz joins the press box to air his grievances about the Raiders.
Well, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Jason Fitz not with us yet. Danny's going to keep trying. Or we're going to hope he calls in. We'd like to talk to him about the Raiders. Fitzy would have a lot of opinions.
Well, and he might have opinions. So Deanna Rossini, about an hour ago, gave some details on this. Said, shockingly enough, Jets, Cowboys, among the many teams monitoring the Davante Adams situation, both have checked in with the Raiders. Vegas in no rush to make a move until a team reaches their asking price, but Adams wants out ASAP. Chase Daniel has said the Saints are a team to watch for Davante Adams.
Think the who?
Saints.
Oh, yeah. Derek Carr,
of course.
Isn't that weird? It's kind of a weird situation that he always wants to play. I know they're buddies. I know they're buddies and everything, but...
They're buddies, but it's also like, it's not a team that is so devoid of receiver talent that you would need to go and get him.
Get him.
You know?
Yeah, I think that whole thing is strange.
And then as Rossini points out, money a big factor. I think you mentioned this too. Oh, 13.5 for the rest of the season. That'll drop by $970K per week. And it's why teams like the Chiefs aren't and can't go full throttle to land the star. So maybe they can restructure with him. Maybe that would be part of a deal if they do it and they reach out and say, hey, all right, we'll acquire you if you want to come to Kansas City, blah, 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 but you got to restructure. Again, Raiders probably won't allow that to happen.
Yeah. But what you said yesterday would be the funniest thing, and Adam said it later in the day, is also you trade him to the Rams, who trade him to the Chiefs.
That'd be awesome.
It'd be hilarious. that'd be hilarious if they did that.
I mean, yeah, the Rams would make sense.
Or obviously, somebody.
Yeah, but the Rams do make sense, like given how beat up they are, right?
Right.
Again, the machinations of the cap and how much it costs, given where that team's at, maybe it'd be a little bit tougher, but, I mean, they are devoid of talent at the wide receiver position right now. Makes some sense. And then all of a sudden you're fully healthy, and you get Davante Adams, Cooper Kupp, and Puka Nacua.
Yeah.
Wow.
It'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
Could contend in that division.
Do a lot of damage.
Yeah.
Maybe Devontae would be happy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about the Saints. I agree with you there, and I believe Rossini's reporting, but he wants out as quickly as possible. But if I'm them, I'm getting what I want.
Yeah,
I'm not. Yeah, I know he might want out, and you know maybe the hamstring lasts a little longer than it should. But I don't know. I'm getting what if I've come to the conclusion, like I said internally, because they'd never say it outside, to rebuild. Then you better get what you want for this guy, because
sure.
This is one of your major pieces. You hit the red button yesterday.
Yes.
You hit the red button yesterday and suggested, Crosby.
Yep.
That would really be the real, but that would be the sign that someone internally has convinced somebody else, okay, we just need to strip it down.
Well, because here's how old is Crosby, 28, 27?
Yeah.
27, right? 27. I just, when you look at it from a timeline perspective, realistically in a rebuild, like let's say you start the rebuild now, and generally, you know, you're not until next year, you're going to get your quarterback of the future, whoever it is you would hope you get your
supposedly,
quarterback of the future.
Supposedly.
Okay? So let's say you do. Okay, you're going to have some growing pains as a quarterback. You're not going to hit the ground running. So what's a realistic timeline for a rookie quarterback do you think would be prepared to compete in the playoffs? Third year? Is that a safe assumption?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
So we're talking now by the age 32 season?
For Crosby?
You're going to be, all right, cool, let's make a playoff run.
Right.
Like,
right.
I just, it's not, obviously, nothing against him. He's a brilliant pass rusher, and he's a great piece. But I just don't know from a timeline perspective how much that matches up when you can get a lot now, and as I said, hit the big red button. And by the way, this might factor in, I'm just going to throw it out there, didn't you spend a 7th overall pick on an edge rusher last year?
Yeah, you did.
Shouldn't you have one?
Yeah.
Lock, stock, and ready to go
yeah.
to take over the gig?
Yeah, maybe not as good right
yeah,
away.
Right.
But you did spend a pick on him.
Yeah. Now, he has to produce, which has not been the case.
Right.
But I feel like from a timeline standpoint, it just makes some sense. That's all I'm saying.
All right. It's a big red button.
It is a big red button. But, I mean, look, Crosby seems like he's going to be happy here or is happy here. But
yeah, you get that extra $6 million this year.
But you're going to be
lying
like,
around.
Sure. But I guess you just be out here, you'll collect sacks and paychecks and win 7 to maybe on a perfect season, 9 games if you get there.
9-8.
Yeah. And maybe get a playoff berth and eliminate in the first round. Maybe. If
now,
that's your peak, I guess.
Now, we're talking a 2 for Devontae. Does Max Crosby get you a 1?
Oh, I would say so, yes.
Okay.
I mean, he's a player at the peak
of
in terms of
very
his
very important position.
His career, yes, at one of the most important positions of football. I would think you would probably get a king's ransom.
For Max Crosby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give us a text line, 364-1100, 364-1100. JVT has pushed the big red button.
All right, let's
do it. What do you think about it?
Jacoby Myers? No, I'm just playing. See you later. Get him on.
He's
good.
He's good, and he's consistent.
I mean,
he does his job and doesn't make waves and doesn't say anything and doesn't demand trades and just stays there. And I think, you know, Trey Tucker, maybe. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You get rid of Adams, great player. I understand that. But Tucker, Jacoby Myers, DJ Turner had the touchdown yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I know you take a step back without Davante Adams. I get that. He's probably what? Still top five receiver?
Yeah.
Still top five receiver in the league?
Probably closer to 5, but yeah.
Can those other guys step up and replace a lot of the production? I mean, if you give Trey Tucker a chance, I mean, I think Jacoby Myers has proven to be a good player.
Mm.
I don't know about DJ Turner. I mean, he had the touchdown the other day, but he'd have to prove himself. But with Gardner Minshew as the quarterback, I don't know if you know how much it matters in terms of who's at receiver.
Yep.
If Gardner Minshew can't pass it, if Gardner Minshew can't be accurate enough to get him the ball.
Yeah, completely agree. So I like that's, and I do wonder because there's this thought of like, well, Davante Adams, we talked about the decline and whatnot and his value. I got to think that his value goes up if the quarterback is better. You know what I'm saying? Like,
he goes to Rodgers.
Yes. Like, clearly.
Even if he goes to Carr, to tell you the truth.
Could be. Although I think Derek Carr kind of stinks, but that's just
okay.
But regardless, the point sandwich, which is just like your value probably goes up a little bit if you're playing with a better quarterback that's going to get you the ball with more consistency. And the offense, too. The scheme and whatnot. And what you're going to actually be asked to do in a scheme like that.
Yeah.
Which, with the New York Jets, it's probably just going to be catch back shoulder fades and
do
what you did with Rodgers.
Do what you did with him in Green Bay or whatever you did with him there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's going to be... I mean, I understand. Like I said, I think the old Derek Carr thing's a little odd. Mm-hmm. The obsession with playing with Derek Carr. I know they're teammates in college; they're best friends, apparently. But it is a little weird that the Saints would be mentioned from Rossini as the second team.
Yes,
the Jets make sense at one.
Well, to be fair, the tweets that I read, she retweeted Chase Daniel. So I don't know if that's like her putting her stamp on it. I think she does work with Chase Daniel. I think she does a podcast with him, if I remember correctly. Maybe that's her corroborating said report from Daniel or whatever it was, but the two teams she specifically mentioned were the Jets and the Cowboys.
Okay.
Cowboys make sense, too.
Yeah, Cowboys make sense, Danny. We need them?
I don't know about need. Like, can they even afford him is really the question after giving...
They can always afford it.
They can always restructure it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like him. It'd be great. Him and CD on opposite ends. Absolutely. Why
I'd
not?
Give up the two for him as a Cowboy fan. I'd give up the two for him in a second.
Two, right? Yeah, it's just a two.
Yeah. And I think you said yesterday it made a lot of sense in that where is the two going to fall?
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing. Where's the two going to fall? You trade him to a contender like the Bills were kind of part of this discussion. That's in the 50s, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how valuable that two is, but it's still a two. I mean, if you do your homework well and you have a good scouting going, then maybe the two makes sense. But maybe look – and here's the other thing. Is he going to be – I mean, he's the one who wants out. He's the one who's supposedly demanding this trade. So I don't know what leverage he has in terms of where he goes. If I'm him, I don't know even if I ask him. I'm like, okay, you want out? We're going to go get the best haul we can get.
Realistically, the two you're going to get is going to be on the back end because you're assuming – like some of these teams are – like the teams mentioned are playoff teams. Right.
Right. They want him to be the final piece.
Yep. So realistically, it'll probably be there. By the way, what's the, like the whole monkey paw thing, right? Where you wish for something and the monkey paw curls and you don't. So all these Raider fans over the summer that were like, please, I want Dak Prescott to throw passes to Devontae Adams.
Yes.
You might get your wish.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's just on the other side of things. Exactly.
100%.
Remember that?
Yeah.
They were so, I mean, a lot of people were, I'm not just saying fans, a lot of people were sure that he was going to not sign and then come to the Raiders.
Yeah.
That was the main storyline.
Yep. Devontae and Dak, it's going to be a great combo. You're right.
Yes.
In Dallas.
So we'll see what happens there. I don't know if he can – I don't know, like we said, what's the trade deadlines? I think it's –
November. November 3rd, I think, is the date, yeah.
I think it's election night.
Oh, he's 6th? Yeah, maybe it is.
I think it's election night.
I'll double check the date right now. It's the first week of November for sure.
There'll be a lot of news there.
I think it's that Tuesday, so it's like the 5th or 6th.
Monday, November 4th.
Oh, so the day before, I think.
Yeah.
He just can't last this long. This is just too much out there now.
What's going to take longer? Devontae Adams getting traded or the election getting certified?
The election, for sure.
The election getting certified over Devontae Adams. Right. I think Devontae Adams is going to get traded pretty soon.
He's gone before week 5.
You saying that now?
Wait, no. We're in five.
Yeah,
he's gone before week 6.
Yeah. You ready for that?
Before week 6.
All right, mark it down.
Yeah, he's gone in the next 10 days.
All right.
If he doesn't, you owe us...
lunch.
Yep, there you go.
If he doesn't, I'll show up extra early.
I don't know how much that's helping us.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't care about that. I'm part-time, dude. I don't care. What does that do for me?
I don't know what it does for me.
Nothing.
What do you got? You got your pen and paper down.
Well, you guys want to make predictions?
No, what do we need? You're the one that came out strong.
Well,
write it down.
I am, but I mean, if you're going by election day, you're basically saying,
no, I don't,
will
I think
he or
it
won't
happens
he?
Before election day.
It has to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's got to wait till the offseason.
Yeah. I think he's every tweet and every report that comes out, I think it makes it more and more obvious that they're going to do this pretty fast.
Yeah, you have to.
I mean, he's telling people this stuff and people are reporting it and the tweets and the sources and all of that coming out. Obviously, he's saying, I want out of here right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
It's kind of an escalation of it, right? Like, as I mentioned yesterday, it seemed pretty passive in the language. Like, prefers to be traded. Raiders looking into it, right? And then Rossini comes out with the report ASAP. Like, that's right. That's the escalation of, like, all right, no, like, I want out.
I want out right now.
Let's get out of this now.
All right, we'll get out of here right now. And when we come back, the Aces. Oh, down Odin.
Plum gets inside. Back to Jackie. Young over to Hayes. Hayes to Plum for three in the corner. Good. KP for three. Aces needed that one.
Follow the guys on Twitter at Ed Graney and at Bischoff underscore Tyler.
All right, back at it. It's the Aces, and they are down 0-2, and they are in major trouble because no one has ever come back from an 0-2 deficit in a best of five in the WNBA.
That's right. Not until, I don't know when, but it's not this time around.
I don't think so.
They got some problems.
Sabrina Ionescu scored 24, and the Liberty beat the Aces 88-84 on Tuesday night to take a 2-0 lead in the best of five. Game three Friday night in Las Vegas at Michelob Arena. Two-time defending champion Aces trying to avoid being knocked out by the team they beat in the WNBA Finals last year. They played better than in the first game. They were up 27-22. Got a better game from Chelsea Gray, who scored 10 in the first quarter. After Becky Hammon had a quote-unquote discussion with her, Gray responded by coming out aggressively. But they couldn't stop Ionescu, and I'm pretty sure the Liberty had 65 layups. Their size is absolutely bothering the Aces, and the Aces have no answer for it.
Yeah, I would agree with all those points. And even with Gray, like, you got 11 points, right? Or was it 10 or 11 in the first quarter?
10 in the first.
10, and then 4 the rest of the way. Like, you need a little bit more. Like, it's great that you came out and you looked like you were going to be better, but then after that, just kind of disappeared for the rest of the game. Didn't really give you that much. And I agree with you. Like, the size is bothering him. And frankly, I don't think the on-ball defense is great. I think Ionescu had 11 in the fourth quarter, and she was just cutting through them, man, getting to the rim, getting layups, and, like, clutch buckets whenever they needed them. Obviously hit the free throws at the end, too.
Right.
But, like, I thought their defense down the stretch was relatively poor on Ionescu. Right. Like, she was beating them up pretty bad, and they didn't really seem to have an answer for what that was. Like,
and
it was great.
We talked about this yesterday. They just haven't. They haven't defended well all year. They'll have, like, spurts of one or two games where she doesn't have to talk about the defense, but mostly she's had to talk about the defense the entire year.
Yep.
And are you surprised at that, given Wilson, I think, led the league in blocks and rebounds? Are you surprised? I mean, why are they so bad defensively? They get beat off the dribble a lot.
Well, I think – so, I generally, you would think that's good, but I also think blocks and rebounds – I mean – there's a lot of opportunities at the rim for a reason, right?
Because
your teammates
are
getting beat.
They're getting beat off the dribble.
It's almost like the Rudy Gobert doesn't block shots at a high rate, but it's like a similar situation. Like, Victor Wembanyama is actually a better example, right? Wembanyama has all these blocks, one, because he's long and he's insane, but also because his dudes are getting beat, and so he's got all these shots to
help out. Right.
So I think it's probably why those numbers were up as much as they were, because you are doing a good job defensively, but the volume of shots you're facing is a lot higher because you have opponents that are getting beat off the dribble. So their defense wasn't good. I also thought, like, they didn't have a ton, but I think they ended up with 12 turnovers in the game. One of them was huge on the inbounds.
And the inbounds were 10.5?
Yep, and they didn't have any, like, didn't really look like they had many options. Like, the Liberty snuffed out two of them, and it was like, screw it, throw it into Kelsey and let's see what happens.
Right,
and she ends up turning it over. So it was, like, really lackadaisical in some pretty tight situations, too.
That was it. They had a chance to tie it, but the ball went out of bounds with 10.5 seconds to play. After New York challenged, the decision was overturned and gave the Liberty the ball, so that wasn't good.
Yeah. I think you said it. Like, this team's kind of been up against it. Again, like, from your bench contributions, you got 21 minutes from Hayes, but less than 10 from Stokes and Colson. Like, you didn't really have much in terms of that. And, like, Asia Wilson ended up being great, but got off to a slow start. It seemed like they were clearly trying to get others involved. I think she had like three of her four assists in the first quarter.
Okay.
And then after that, it was just like, no, we don't really have that much. Let's just ask that Asia Wilson kind of bail us out here. And didn't get too much from Plum either.
It's interesting because she's been so amazing over the course of the year as the MVP that do we expect too much of her? Because I think she's had two fine games, but maybe it's – and she's still putting up numbers – but are we expecting too much of her, or are we not giving her teammates a hard enough time?
I think we're not giving the teammates a hard enough time. You know, like, you look around the board again, like, if Clark comes out there, plays 35 minutes, she's a minus 11 when she's on the floor. You get outscored there. Plum, again, 27 minutes, 2-9 from the floor, is a minus 5. You can't just get, especially if you're not getting a lot of minutes from your bench, you need your starters to give you something. And so you can't realistically ask that. I was laughing when I was watching the game yesterday. Asia Wilson looked like she was in like a 12-round boxing match. Right. Like everything is on her plate.
Yeah.
And she looks like it's 5 minutes into the first quarter. She looks like she's been somebody who's played already through an entire game.
The entire game.
Because she's like got so much responsibility and she's not getting that many contributions at all. So, no, I do think you should look around and go, guys, like, where else is this coming from? What other, like, where are we getting some of this scoring outlet from? Where are we going to get some of the assistance from? And then just in terms of scoring and defense. I mean, like, for Jackie Young, for example. All right, cool, 17 points. You got to the free. You hit four threes. Well, guess what? When you're on the floor, you were still outscored by 3 points in your minutes. Like, you got to be
minus
better.
Three?
Yes. You still have to be better in that regard. In a game in which they ended up losing, Asia Wilson in a 4-point loss was plus 3 in her minutes. Had 24 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Like, that's somebody who has everything on her plate
should
is doing
be
as
enough?
Much as possible. Yeah. But the rest of your teammates aren't really giving you that much. I think she was one of two Aces players that was a positive in her minutes. Her and Gray. That was it. Gray ended up being plus 1.
Wow. That's not good at all.
No.
That's not good at all by the other stars, supposedly. We talked about yesterday they need the big four. Well, the big four hasn't shown up.
Yep.
Maybe one and a half has shown up each night. Asia and someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And the bench just gives them nothing. Now, and she doesn't, throughout the season, she's not more of a bench person anyway. She stays with the big four. And that a lot of times that was a question during the season. They weren't going to win a league. They're going to be a 4 or 5 seed. Like, did she rest people out? She gave some maintenance days off at the end.
Sure.
But throughout the season, that was a big question. She stayed with the big four a lot and didn't give her bench a ton of time. And she's done that the last 2 years, and they've won the title. So maybe she just rolls with that, and she thinks that's the best way.
Did they win a game?
In when they had the maintenance days?
No, do they win a game in this series?
Yes,
do they
I think
win
they
game?
Win game 3.
Okay.
You?
I think they're done.
Really?
I like this.
Cottage.
I think this Liberty team's really good, man. Like even in a game like this, like generally situation is underdog, right? Game 2, lost game 1, come out with a pretty good mentality, fight hard. This team, especially in that second quarter, they were down by 5. And Liberty like, nah.
Right.
Yep.
All right.
So swept. Dunzo.
Put it in the notebook. Swept. Gunzo. I had him in 5. I had the Aces.